Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Okay, so it's great that I'm standing in because when I read my Bible, I can always talk. Yes, the staff know that I can always talk. And so me and Becky went to Lake District a few weeks ago, and God just spoke to me about a few things. So I'm simply just going to share what God excited me about. And so if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 5. Don't worry, it will be on the screen, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can be found in this place. And Lord, some of us have got incredibly busy and complex lives, and this morning we just focus away from what maybe our emails tell us. We focus away from all the things that can distract our lives, and we focus on you this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak into our lives. That still voice, that voice that brings confidence and strength and peace. Lord, we pray that you would speak to hearts and lives this morning. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. So, Romans 5 verses, is that right? Romans 5 verses 1. Let's come on the screen. It says this, therefore, since we've been justified through faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
What is that, Andy? That is theological caviar. Yes? Have you ever? It's speaking about the richness of God's goodness and the richness of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. So for the next 3 hours, for the next 25, 30 minutes, we're just going to look at this and mean, what does this mean to my life? Because I want to say this morning, if you understand this verse, and maybe you've been in church a long time, I still think it's worthy that we take a look at this verse. Because if you understand this verse, it will transform your life now. And this verse transforms your life for all eternity. Can we raise a hallelujah? Amen. So I want to talk about knowing where you stand. Knowing where you stand. Because it's important that you know where you stand. Is that right? I don't know if there's a slide. That would be great. Knowing where you stand. You see, it's important to know where you stand. In 2002, when I was 22... a beautiful brunette was sat in my car. Now, how she got to sit in my car is debatable. Because as the youth pastor, we was going on a youth trip and I was sacrificing everything, and so I had all of my back seats were down and all of the tent and all of the camping stuff was in my car. And there was one seat next to me. And my version is this beautiful brunette, when she knew there was one seat next to me, as soon as we left where we was, she ran like the clappers to get into that seat. Now, the other alternative version is as that she went to the toilet as everyone was getting into the car, and when she came out, there was only one seat left, and she thought she'd drawn the short straw, and so she had to go on a journey for 6.5 hours sat next to the youth pastor. The truth is, after a 6.5 hour journey, as we was talking in the car, and as she left the car, and she got out the car, and she closed the door, and I sat there in the car thinking, I have never in my life met a woman like that.
Come on.
Woo!
Come on.
And during the week, she looked at me and I looked at her. She spoke tenderly to me and I spoke tenderly to her. We toasted marshmallows. No, we didn't. It was against regulations. And we had this wonderful time together. Just, you know, when you meet somebody. And then I drove her home and it was brilliant because all week I'm thinking, I've got 6.5 hours with her and she can't escape. It's, if you want to get to know someone, just give them a lift for 6.5 hours. It's brilliant. And then she got out the car and she went back to her life because she was living at the other side of Nottingham, involved in a different church. And she went about her life and I went back to my life. And then for about 6 months, because she used to kind of, this beautiful brunette would come we used to go to the cinema, and you know what young adults do, eating out, and she would come with us, and she would look at me, and I would look at her. And I would talk tenderly to her, and she would talk tenderly to me. But you know, you don't know really know where you stand, yeah? And then on my birthday, she texted me. Now we're at texting level. Come on. Woo! We're in. We're texting, man. We're texting, baby. Happy birthday. So I thought, okay, let's get this texting going. So we started the texting. Then we used to go out, and then she looked at me, I looked at her. And then I've got to be honest. And it's very unusual when you've never been on a date with somebody, but I had fallen in love. Oh. That was it. She was the one for me. So what do you do? And I wouldn't recommend this. I'm just putting it out there. So it's going on, and I'm thinking, this is just getting tiring now. I've got to take it to the next level. Yeah, we've got to go to the next level. So after one church service that she came, I thought, where's one of the most romantic places in Eastwood? Yeah. I thought, the car park of the Man in Space pub. Yeah. You can't get more romantic than that. So after the service, I said, can we just have a chat for a minute? Yeah, in your car. So we went, sat in a car, and I said these words. I said, well, you know, for the last 6 months, we've just been getting to know each other, and I've really liked hanging out with you, but I just want to put it out there, just so you know where I stand, but I just want to say that I've fallen in love with you. I'm an out there kind of guy. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah, there's no going back. This is going to go well or it's going to go bad. So I won't recommend this, just story of my life. I won't recommend it, but it'd been good. And her response, she sat there and she looked and she said, Andy, some of you know this story, but Andy, that's interesting. Now that's not good. That's interesting. I've gone out there. I mean, I'm out there right now. So right now I'm thinking, you know, I want the ground to swallow me up thinking this is bad. This is very bad. She says, that's interesting. There's a few things I've got to sort out and I've got to think about. Oh, okay. So we left it at that. Feeling a bit down, I went to my parents, as you do, for a bit of moral support. And they knew that I liked her. I says, oh, I've sat her and I've told her that I love her, and my dad was like, you complete idiot. As dads do. What? You've scared her off, son. That's it. She'll think you're a complete desperate freak. But I was like, no, it's just who I am. I'm out there. If I feel it, I'm going to say it. That's it. Yeah, come on, man. We need to be courageous sometimes. We need to say what we love. Yes? And declare our love for our wives and our kids. Yeah, I don't know if you can overlove someone, in a way. You can't tell your kids that you love them too many times. I don't know. And she left me hanging. So I had told her where I stood, but she left me hanging for about 6 months. And so you know what it's like. You know where you stand, but then we're going out, yeah? And we're going to the cinema, and it's really awkward because she looks at me and I look at her, but it's a bit different now, if you know what I mean. And I felt a bit awkward because I didn't know where I stood. My time's going very fast. You see, when you don't know where you stand, yeah, it makes you feel isolated, awkward, agitated, confused, inconsistent, up and down, restless, stressed out. I was upset. And you can't move on for the future. But 6 months went past, and then we went on to the second year of the youth camp that we was going on. And again, she sat in my car with a few other young people. And we spent the whole week together, and she had the whole week to talk to me every day, 24 hours a day. Nothing. So we started to drive home, okay? And I'm thinking, if she gets out my car, that is it. We're moving on. That's it. So I thought, one last ditch. I'm going to create a playlist on the way home. You know, back in the day when you had none of this iPod, we had the 10 CD stacker in the boot. First one. Phil Collins. You have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. I can't go on just holding on for time. Now we live in separate lives. A bit harsh. That's why we had Phil Collins on this morning. Then I thought, I'll soften it a bit. Eurekans and Glaciers. I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. I will stand by you forever. You can take my breath away. Woo! Thought, nah. We get to Castle Donington, bring out Daniel Bedingfield. I don't want to run away, but I can't take it. I don't understand. If I'm not made for you, then why does your heart tell me that I am? Is there any way I can stay in your arms tonight? Get to Trowell service station. Bring out the big guns, Boys to Men. We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my mind, heart? Why do you play with my mind? Although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't go on. It's unnatural. You belong to me. I belong to you. Come on, that's it. I'm one romantic guy. Come on. I can't do any more than that. I can't do any more than that. And so we drove all the way, and we dropped off everyone, and I drove her to get them where she lived. And we parked on her driveway, and right at the last minute, she said, Andy, we need to talk. We need to talk. And we drove somewhere, and she sat me on a bench in Gedlin and said, just to let you know what you said to me in the car park about you loved me. It was the most amazing thing anyone's ever said to me. You're so romantic, and I just want to say that I'm madly, truly in love with you. Woo! Come on! Woo! Because it's good to know where you stand. It's good to know where you stand. And on that understanding, church, we build our lives, we build our family, we build our home, we build our children, we build our lives on the understanding of knowing where you stand. Why am I saying this morning is that this verse, if we can put the verse on again, is Paul writing to the Christians in Rome many years ago because he is desperate for them to know as Christians that if you need to know one thing in life, you need to know where you stand with God. Because where you stand with God has the ability to influence and impact every area of our lives. You see, God this morning doesn't want anyone not knowing where they stand, feeling awkward, isolated, agitated, confused, inconsistent, stressed out, upset. But he wants people to feel peace, to live with certainty and to be assured and confident about where they stand with Christ. See, the amazing thing is about the Bible, there are hundreds of verses about what God can do for you. You see, in the book of Romans, it talks about some amazing verses that in God, we're more than conquerors. You think that's amazing? That if God is for us, who can be against us? That nothing can separate us from the love of God. It speaks about the joy of new life through baptism in water. And if you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, yet you've not been baptized in water, can I encourage you to get your name down? It speaks about the gift of God. It speaks about future glory and the promise of everlasting life. But this is the challenge, what God spoke to me on holiday. This is the truth, is I believe this morning that God can do amazing things for your life. But it's not just about knowing about what God can do for your life, but it's about knowing what God has already done for your life this morning. Because everything that God can do for your life is built upon the foundation of what Jesus Christ has already done for your life. You see, as Jesus died on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." That God accomplished things for your life this morning, which in what he accomplished is where we take our stand this morning. And you know, when I was away, we watched the Brits and the Oscars and some of the things I didn't like, but just to understand the culture. And everyone, before they introduce someone, they say, "This is a person," and they boast about their accomplishments. They've won this Grammy, they've won this many articles and this many singles, and everyone comes out and goes, "Woo, aren't these people amazing?" Well, for the remainder, and maybe this is a few weeks series, but I just want to boast about Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus, but before I do that, I'm just going to boast, because the Bible says we've got a lot not in ourselves, but got a lot to boast about Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to simply share what Jesus has done for your life this morning. Is that all right? Good. Because it's important that we know that. Okay, so we're going to look at a few points and we'll see where we get to and then we'll finish. You see, number one, about the accomplished works of Christ. This verse says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It talks about everything hinges about on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the main thing we understand about the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is what we need to take away, is that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we stand in love this morning. Not hairy-fairy love, but we stand in love. If it's talking about Jesus, it's talking about love. The Bible says, in Romans, everyone say all. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's why we put a banner outside with lots of different languages in, because all can come. Jesus died for all this morning, church. I'm sorry if you disagree with that, but Jesus said everyone can come. The rich, the poor, the introvert, the extrovert. Every age, everyone. And John 3:16, we know it, but I want you to get a deeper revelation this morning. "For God so loved the world. For God so loved Steve Bell. For God so loved Andy Crouch. For God so loved Sylvia. For God so loved you this morning, that he sent his one and only son." If we believe in Jesus, we cannot believe in Jesus and then think God does not love me. It's an offense to the cross this morning. I want to say this morning, you may feel unloved this morning. You can stand in love because we believe that Jesus is all about love. Yes? God's primary motivation for your life is love. Yes? The primary reason why we built this building, the primary reason why we're investing $1.2 million over 15 years is because God loves the world. Come on, church, let someone get excited. He loves the world and he loves your life. And so we can stand in love. You may feel not unworthy of God's love, but Romans 5 verse 8 says something amazing. It says, "But God demonstrated his love, his own love for us, In this way, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to say this morning that when we were still in sin, when we was just messing about, just doing our own thing, far away from God, God accepted you. And he loved you this morning, and he was worth dying for. Amen. You may think, well, Andy, it's standing in love, it's a bit wishy-washy, but we need to understand, you see, God doesn't like you, he loves you. It goes beyond like. 1 Corinthians 13 states that faith without love is completely useless. If we don't believe in a loving God, the Bible makes no sense, church. It makes no sense. The church makes no sense if we don't have a revelation of the love of God. See, Corinthians says love always protects. God will always fight for you. He will keep fighting for you when you've got no fight at all. Hallelujah. Can we raise a hallelujah? Yeah. Love always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. See, the accomplished works of Christ, because what Jesus did on the cross, and maybe you've come into church in crisis this morning, maybe you've got a lot going on, but if we understand this, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever our background, maybe this is the first time in church we can all stand in love. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So we can stand in love. My next one is we can stand in peace. Amen. See, the Bible says, and stay with me, I want to melt your brain a little bit. I want to try and really help us understand this. Therefore, since we've been justified, what does justified mean? It's an old-fashioned word. This is amazing. Ready? What does justified mean? It means to be declared innocent or guiltless. That's what justified means. Yes? Have you ever been in trouble? Yeah? Before we moved into this venue, we was renting another venue. And we made some alterations. And one day I was pretty naive. And a planning officer knocked on the door and said, oh, you've recently moved in. And quite naive, I said, oh, open the door. Come and have a look around. She came and had a look around and said, oh, have you altered? I said, oh, yeah, we've made a few alterations. She says this, you have the right to remain silent. What you say will be used against you in a court of law. Who do you think you are? Do you know who you're talking to? I'm saying, I am a minister. I am a Christian minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know? And I would never, ever break the law. She says, no, this is a Category A listed building. You can't do that. And all of a sudden I was, you know, when you feel like, oh, no. You feel you're in big trouble. Yeah, you've done something wrong. Thankfully, they just scare you like that, so you just, you know, make the changes back to normal again, and then they let you off. So I've not got a criminal record. Just putting it out there. If I did, it would have been for Jesus anyway. He'd have sorted it out. But these words are amazing because it says this. Therefore, since we've been justified this morning, this is what Jesus did on the cross. He's made us innocent and guiltless. Yeah. Come on. That's right. And because we've been made innocent and guiltless, okay, through Christ, it means we now have peace with God this morning. I want to say this morning, you know when you've got conflict with someone and you meet someone, whether it's a family meal or whatever, there's always a bit of awkwardness. Is that right? It's just me then. And there's all a bit like, oh, it's a bit strange. But what Paul's saying, now, through Jesus Christ, through believing our faith in Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross, we have been justified, made innocent, yes, and guiltless. And now we have church. That means that the wrath of God has been put aside. It means that we have peace with God. Yes? Hallelujah. Can we raise a hallelujah for that? We have peace with God. So now, through Jesus, I can come to God and I can walk into his presence knowing that I have peace with God because I've been justified through Jesus. Amen? Amen. It means that I can always come and meet God. I can always spend time with God. God's made you, Jesus has made you guiltless and innocent of all sin. And now you have peace with God. Theological caviar on that statement, on this verses, that is what your eternity is secured in. Everlasting life hangs on this statement, church. I'm excited this morning. I'm preaching Christ Jesus of everything that he's done for your life. So we can stand in peace. Everyone say amen. Amen. Does anyone want to be declared innocent and guiltless? I want to say this morning, you have faith in Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ, and you receive it. Yeah? You receive it, that you've been made right with God. Maybe you don't live right with many things, but I want to say this morning, you can be made right with God. I'm not a perfect person. I don't float. I live in this world, but I want to say this morning, through this verse, I know that I have peace with God. Yeah, and out of that peace with God, my relationship with God flows. My life functions because, okay, finally time's gone. I'm going to say this very quick. So we stand in love this morning. We stand in peace and we stand in grace. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good, but it gets better. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Very quick, what does grace mean? What does it mean? Because it's an old verse. It says this, grace is the manifestation of favor. Everyone say favor. The manifestation of favor, especially by a superior. Stay with me, church, we're gonna come to an end. Therefore, through Jesus Christ on the cross, we've been justified, made innocent and guiltless. Now we have peace. And because God has brought us this peace, now the Bible says we can gain access to grace. We can step into grace. What does that mean? We can step into the manifestation, favor of God. Come on. Come on. Woo! Amen. We can stand. We have gained access into the favor of God. Amen. I'll finish with this. To illustrate this point, you know, in the Old Testament, I'm sorry if you need to dash off. I won't get embarrassed if you need to go and get your dinner. I'll just be 5 more minutes if that's okay. And in the Old Testament, to illustrate this point, beautifully, there was King David, incredible warrior, strong man. And he killed the Goliath. He became the king of the nation. He became the king. He had a palace. He had servants. He ruled the whole nation. He prospered greatly. And there came a time in his life and he said, is there anybody in the kingdom? Is there anybody out there? Because he had a relationship with a guy called Jonathan. For the sake of Jonathan, is there anyone in his family who I can show kindness to? Because if there is, I'm going to invite them to eat at my table. Come on. The king's table. So the king sent a herald, and the herald went and said, is there anybody in the kingdom? And this guy was found. I've struggled pronouncing his name was Mephibosheth. Or Mephibosheth. Yeah. The guy came back to the king and said, we found someone, but there's an issue. He says, what's the issue? He's a down and out cripple. He's down and out. King David says, where does he live? He lives in Lodibar. What does that mean? The land of no pasture. So we've got a down and out who can't walk, living in destitute land. And the king says, invite him to my table. And I want to make a proclamation. Whatever I'm king, he will always, 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 always have an opportunity to eat at my table. I want to say this morning, and I just picture this, Mephibosheth coming in, and he's like this, and he's saying, I've got a table. And this morning, we all from different backgrounds, and you maybe think, I'm not worthy to be at the king's table, yes? And sometimes we walk in our spirits and we walk to church, don't we, on our hands and knees in our spirits. I want to say this morning, through Jesus Christ, we have been justified, made innocent and guiltless. And we've had peace with God so we can step into the grace of God, the manifestation of God's favor, that whatever you face in your life, there's always, God will always present a table. A table of provision, a table of blessing, a table of whatever that is, because we can function under and in the manifestation of the favor of God. Do you get excited this morning? You see, the table for Mephibosheth was a table of love. It was a table of acceptance. It was a table of restoration. And the Bible says that Mephibosheth, through coming to the table, it changed his whole life. Yes, it changed his whole life. And the Bible says, and King David treated Mephibosheth as one of his own sons. The Bible says we've been adopted into God's family, and we're sons and daughters of the Most High. So church, this morning, I always want you to never forget that through Jesus Christ, the theological caviar of our world and of Scripture is that whoever we are this morning, God loves us. And because he loved us, he sent Jesus. And through the cross, we've been justified, made guiltless and innocent. And because we're made guiltless and innocent, we now have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we can step into, we've gained access into the favor of God. Let's stand. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the band to come forward. We're just going to pray. We're going to end the service, but we're going to, if you want to stay, we're going to sing that hallelujah song. If you need to go, then you can go. Make sure you collect your children from kids' church. That would be handy. Amen. Let's just pray. Right now, whatever God's spoken to you about, you need to know, church. Say, yeah, I'm taking my stand. I know now where I stand in God. Some of you need to know this morning that you stand in love. You stand in love. I don't feel worthy of love. No, you stand in love. The cross is there. You got to deal with it. It's there because God loves you. There's an empty tomb this morning. It was there. You got to deal with it. Yeah, I'm believing. But it's all about faith this morning. Through faith, through faith, through faith, through faith, through faith. This morning I'm saying, yeah, through faith, I'm believing that I can stand in love. I'm believing this morning that I can stand in peace with God. And this morning, I'm believing that I can stand in grace, in the grace of God, and that throughout the remainder of my life, forever, I'm invited to the King's table. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning, we just pray for the revelation of your word will take hold in our lives. We just pray that it will grow. Lord, I just pray that praise will arise from this place. Because of not just because of what you're going to do, and we thank you in advance for that, but we praise you for what you've already done. Because what you've already done is eternal, and no power of darkness or no scheme of hell can shake or change that which you've already done and accomplished. We ask this in your name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.